Today's June 17th, 2008, and this is the Apple Weekly Report, episode number 127, a podcast for the Mac Observer. I'm Jeff Gamet, morning editor for TMO.
And I'm Brian Chaff, an editor-in-chief. To get the full story on anything we cover in this podcast, you can visit macobserver.com/AWR. And if you'd like to comment on or question anything about the show, shoot us a note at AWR at macobserver.com.
Brian, that just warms my heart every week. That's the best.
God, yours are getting good too, man. What are you shooting there?
I'm shooting, I think, 45 wad cutters.
Oh, well, I'm shooting a Colt 45 over here.
Excellent. So at least we're on the same caliber, even if we, who knows if we're using the same gun or not.
Oh, good luck. We are not crazy. Oh, wait. Yes, we are.
Yes. Yes, we are. We're totally crazy. But, what do you expect? I mean, we podcast.
Indeed.
Know, there you go.
Hey, speaking of crazy, are you going to get a new iPhone?
You know, I'm actually on the fence about that one right now. I'm in an area where I have just excellent access to Wi-Fi pretty much all the time. Mm-hmm. And so then I have to look at the GPS and say, is that worth the upgrade, since 3G isn't going to be as big a deal for me? And I keep going back and forth. I'm just not sure yet. But it is really cool.
Yeah, those are certainly the viable considerations. I'm probably going to get one for one thing, simply to have it for review stuff, but also because the games look really good on the new one.
Yeah, the whole games thing is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. And of course, folks, we're talking about the new iPhone 3G. This is the iPhone 3G special edition of the Apple Weekly Report. So. It kind of makes for a nice segue.
So it does. And I say, before we segue all the way into all the news, mm-hmm. we should talk about this week's sponsor.
We should talk about this week's sponsor, which does kind of interrupt my segue, but always an important thing. Who do we have?
Yeah. Smile on My Macs, Text Expander.
The good folks at Smile on My Macs. They've been great sponsors for the shows, and we appreciate that.
Absolutely, and I can tell you from firsthand experience, Text Expander is a killer product. And for those of you that don't know what Text Expander is, it's this really cool program that lets you take like long phrases or words or code chunks or whatever, and then represent those with like 2, 3, 4, 5 character long strings, so you can make abbreviations for these big snippets. Type the little abbreviation, and then it automatically fills in the rest of that text, drops in the picture, runs a script, whatever it is that you have assigned to that abbreviation. And it works really well. And, a couple weeks ago when WWDC was in full swing, I needed to have specific code segments that I was adding into articles. And so I just had those set up in Text Expander so that all I'd have to do is type a 2-character abbreviation, and it would automatically fill in these long strings of code for me. It was truly a lifesaver.
Well, that makes sense for doing something like that where, it's something you need for basically a short term. But I'm kind of curious as to where you use it in your daily computing.
Oh, okay. Well, in daily computing, I have a few HTML code snippets that I need to use in specific types of articles. And so instead of retyping that manually or copying and pasting from somewhere else, I have those set up as snippets as well. Mm-hmm. And then, I'm always dealing with different companies where I need to give them contact information. I have all of that set up as a snippet. And that one of the ones that I use like all the time, which probably sounds impersonal, but it's not, at least from my perspective. When I finish an email and I put my little outgoing salutation with my name, I have a little snippet or shortcut that I type, and then it types all of that information for me as well.
Oh, that makes sense. Sure.
Yeah. Or, if I'm iChatting with someone and I need to give them my phone number, mm-hmm. instead of having to type out the full phone number, I just type out the little abbreviation and it fills that in for me.
Well, that makes a lot of sense, and it sounds like TextExpander is very handy. Now, I noticed that they've got special pricing for a 2-license pack right now.
Right. You can get two licenses for $44.95, and a single license is going to cost you $29.95. So that's a pretty good deal.
That is a pretty good savings. And if you've got two folks or, multiple people in your office, that would seem like the way to go.
Absolutely. And even if it's just you, that $29.95 price, in my opinion, is still totally worth it based on the amount of time that I save and the number of errors that I've eliminated by having, prepackaged chunks of text that I work with. It's totally a lifesaver.
No, that makes sense. So that's Text Expander from Smile on My Mac, and they are this week's sponsor. We appreciate their support, and we would like to ask you to make sure you check them out. You can find links to the product and the company in the show notes.
Yes, you can. Okay, and now since I totally interrupted your segue, do you have more of your segue, or should I just move on?
Nope, iPhone 3G, blah, blah, blah.
Great segue. Now, this week is our special iPhone 3G edition, where we take a look at Apple's second-generation smartphone, consumer and analyst reactions, and what's in store once Apple releases the device on the world.
Apple's iPhone 3G will launch on July 11th, announced last week at the WWDC, and it will likely lead to new headaches, eroding market share, and slimmer margins for the competition in the smartphone market. The first-generation iPhone made an impact in the industry and stole market share from rivals, and now that Apple has reduced the price on the iPhone 3G to $199 US, rival mobile phone makers could find themselves scrambling to match Apple's prices. Apparently, handset makers assumed that consumers were, in fact, ready to pay and continue paying $500 for their mobile phones, thanks to the original iPhone, and added new features to their products because of that. Now, Apple's surprise price drop could leave them taking a hit on profits to compete with the iPhone's new price point or risk losing more customers.
Apple's iPhone 3G may be priced starting at $199, but that doesn't mean the company won't be making any money on the devices. Based on industry estimates, Apple's 8GB iPhone 3G could cost the company as little as $100, which makes for a 50% gross margin over parts costs, or about the same as the gross margins on the iPod. If analyst expectations are right and AT&T is adding in a $200 subsidy, then the iPhone 3G will add a tidy sum to Apple's bottom line. Since the iPhone 3G won't be available until July 11th, no one has been able to disassemble one to get a completely accurate accounting of parts for cost analysis. Based on Apple's penchant for securing favorable component prices, however, current cost estimates probably aren't too far off.
And we should probably add to that, Jeff, that part of the concern over the price is the fact that Apple's no longer going to be taking a portion of the monthly revenues from developers, which is why so much attention has been paid to this issue.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, so they've switched to this traditional carrier subsidy model, which is what the industry has been using for many, 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 many years. And there you have it.
Yeah, and I guess now we'll just have to see how that pans out for Apple.
Indeed. Speaking of Apple, the company could be seeing $1 billion per year in iPhone App Store revenues in calendar 2009, according to Piper Jaffray analyst Gene Munster. The App Store basically has a business model where developers can put their applications on the App Store for the iPhone and iPod Touch, and Apple will handle hosting and cover bandwidth and handle the transaction. If the app is free, the app is free. If the app costs any money, Apple keeps 30%. Now, Mr. Munster based his projections of $1 billion in revenue for Apple from the App Store based on an estimate of 78 million iPhone, iPhone 3G, and iPod Touch users by the end of calendar 2009. That, of course, would be a year and a half out. Now, note that Apple's fiscal year actually ends in September of each year. He estimated that some 91% of those users will be App Store customers and that they will average $10 per year in App Store purchases, even though he also thinks most apps that will be available will actually be free. Now, Mr. Munster is among the first analysts to look at the potential of the App Store as a major source of revenue for Apple, a subject examined by me in a column. Most analysts have instead focused on the price drop and change in business model that we mentioned above, represented by the new device.
And Apple's iPhone 3G will require in-store AT&T activation at the time of purchase, which means that Synchronoss, the company that managed the iTunes-based activation process for Apple's original iPhone, just lost about 25% of its business. The switch to in-store activation will cost Synchronoss about $30 million a year and is already taking a toll on the company's stock. While the change is likely good news for Apple and AT&T since they now have one less company to pay, it's bad news for iPhone buyers that will have to deal with the same sign-up headaches every other cell phone buyer encounters.
Not happy about that particular change. Apple may be pressuring developers to charge for the apps that they offer through the App Store, but it looks like a majority of the third-party iPhone and iPod Touch offerings will be free. Mr. Munster from Piper Jaffray, in addition to talking about how much money Apple may be bringing in, spoke with several attendees at the WWDC and found that about 70% of the handheld apps that they are developing will be for free. Mr. Munster said, quote, "We found the average cost of iPhone apps on the App Store to be $2.29, with 71% being free," unquote. Now, it's important to note that Mr. Munster interviewed 20 developers out of the 5,200 that were present at the WWDC, so his statistics represent only a small subset of the overall iPhone and iPod Touch coder market. They do show, however, that developers appear to be interested in offering low-cost and free programs through the App Store.
And current iPhone owners in the U.S. who are thinking about upgrading to a new iPhone to take advantage of the faster 3G network may wind up paying more for what they already have. AT&T's 3G coverage map reveals its 3G coverage is spotty and concentrated in major metropolitan areas around the country. For the vast majority of the country, geographically at least, 3G is unavailable. That means many new iPhone owners will be paying for 3G speeds they may never see. According to AT&T, there is only one data plan for the new phone. That's $30 a month, and that will get you 3G speeds where available and 2G or Edge speeds everywhere else. Current iPhone owners pay $30 a month for their data plan, which also includes 200 SMS messages, something that will cost new iPhone customers an additional $5. Despite the limited 3G coverage areas, AT&T thinks most iPhone buyers have a good chance of being in a 3G zone. AT&T's Mark Siegel told TMO, quote, "We are in 280 major metropolitan areas now and will be in 350 by the end of the year," unquote. Now, for some current iPhone owners, that makes skipping iPhone 3G an option, at least for now, but soon-to-be first-time iPhone owners will find themselves stuck with higher rates even if they don't get 3G service.
Just like many users, Adobe wants to see Flash on Apple's iPhone, and it looks like the company is getting closer to making that happen. Adobe has apparently been hard at work developing a version of its multimedia environment for the iPhone, but isn't ready to bring it to the public yet, according to CEO Shantanu Narayen. While Apple touts that the iPhone and iPod Touch offer, quote-unquote, the real internet, via the mobile Safari web browser instead of the stripped-down look that many other mobile browsers offer, the lack of Flash support has left many users feeling like they are missing out on much that the web has to offer. Adding Flash support would likely entice more consumers to switch from their current mobile phone to Apple's iPhone. Despite the efforts of the Adobe developers, don't expect to see Flash on the iPhone as soon as Apple opens the App Store in early July, because the current version of Flash for the iPhone is only working in an emulation environment and hasn't moved on to real iPhone testing yet. That beautiful sound means that it's time for the context machine, if I can get it out. That's where Jeff and I delve a little more deeply into the news to provide context for what's going on.
And, you know, good job for getting that out.
Yeah, thanks. It was a challenge.
Yeah, well, you know, it's the little things in life that make us feel like we've really accomplished something, right?
Indeed. Speaking of the little things in life, one of the things I'm kind of interested in talking about is the App Store.
Yes, I'm actually really excited about the App Store. And now, keep in mind that I was not at the WWDC keynote event, so I didn't get to actually see what everyone else was seeing. So all I had was the text, the spoken words that Uncle Steve was spewing forth. And it just felt like this whole thing where they were talking about applications and showing different apps off droned on and on and on.
After the fact,
yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay, so after the fact, though, even though that really drug on, then I got why things were happening the way they were. It's because there's already so much that's in development and will be ready when the App Store launches. It's not going to be like we have five programs to choose from. There's going to be a buttload of applications available when the App Store launches, I think.
Oh, yeah, tons of them. Probably thousands is what I would guess. I don't have that's a gut feeling, not based on any particular research. But, you know, it's going to be a big deal when it launches. And, I mean, you know, we saw first of all, it was Scott Forstall that actually did the App Store, or not the App Store, but the iPhone app demonstration. And maybe it's because Mr. Forstall is still learning how to do those kinds of presentations. It definitely felt like it droned on and on.
Yeah, the application parade.
Yeah, the application parade. But, you know, we saw some cool stuff. We saw a couple of medical apps, one of which allowed you to go through CAT scan slices by, you know, scrolling your finger over the screen. So, you know, doctors, when they're busy on their golf courses, can, you know, attend to business. that one was really interesting to me, and that's going to be a four fee app too. You know, that's the kind of thing that some major development went into. So, you know, it's fascinating to me that someone thinks they can make money with that, which, you know, they probably can. But we saw great games. I mean, just amazing looking games. I mean, games that looked like they were in 3D. You know, games that use the accelerometer to actually control the game. We saw
it. That's cool.
Yeah, and it seemed to work too. Now they were showing everything on the 3G, so I'm going to be kind of curious to see how those actually work on the original iPhones. Is the accelerometer in an original iPhone? Is it accurate enough? I know that sometimes it takes me a second or two to get the Safari browser to switch to landscape mode.
Oh, that's because Safari browser is lame sometimes.
Well,
that's my guess.
Is it, or is it the accelerometer? I mean, like I said, everything we were seeing was on the new ones.
Okay, so that's a good question. And okay, so if I don't upgrade to an iPhone 3G right away, we'll be able to do comparisons, but assuming you do upgrade right away.
Right, and we will actually be doing that. That's a great idea, Jeff.
Well, there you go. All right, so now I'm committed to not upgrading right away, even if I were to jump to that side of the fence. Well, thank you. I think you just saved me a couple hundred bucks at least for a while.
Yay me. But, you know, the real excitement about the iPhone, and I think that the App Store, I should say the real excitement of the App Store, and what it really seemed like in the week following the iPhone 3G's announcement that everybody was missing is just how much revenue that could bring in. I mean, Gene Munster did his research note to clients after I wrote my column. Thanks, Gene.
Yeah, your check's in the mail, right?
I'm sure that my check's in the mail. But my point is that I think that Apple is counting on a substantial amount of revenue, and you know, they've really set this up to be the best of all worlds for Apple. You know, they're going to be controlling the release of all applications, and unless or until someone else figures out how to hack iPhone software 2.0 and install other apps not through App Store, you won't be able to do it unless you're doing it through App Store. You won't be able to take applications and put them on your iPhone without going through App Store. And of course, you know, why would legitimate developers not want to have to distribute their applications through the App Store? Because first of all, everyone's going to have it, and second of all, Apple handles all the costs.
Right. Okay, I can think of one situation where legit or semi-legit developers would want to bypass the App Store, and that would be if they want to offer a feature on the iPhone that Apple is otherwise blocking access to.
That's very true. Or maybe like I'm going to be curious to see if Apple will allow the development and release of poker clients.
Oh yeah,
you know that's because I'm there's a market for playing poker on your iPhone. I guarantee that. And also porn applications, porn-related applications. I don't know if Apple's going to want to have that sort of thing on the App Store.
I think Apple actually said when they first announced the App Store, no porn.
Mm. Yeah, I think you're right. They did say that. So, yeah, there are definitely, I guess, some legitimate, depending on how you want to define that, reasons for developers to want to bypass the App Store. But that's going to mean, you know, are people going to be willing to hack their iPhones in order to play poker or get their porn? I don't know, maybe.
You know, I'm betting that there will still be a market for jailbreaking iPhones to add unauthorized third-party applications, just because there will be markets like, I mean, you know, let's face it, the porn market is huge. It drives so many sectors in the entertainment industry.
Mm-hmm. And technology.
And technology, and is a huge thing on the internet. Why should we expect that to be any different on the iPhone?
Well, that's very, very, very well, because if you're,
because Steve says no.
Well, because Steve says no, but I mean, how addicted to porn do you have to be that you just can't wait till you get back to your computer?
I'm sorry, I've got this image in my head of I'll just stop there because it's a family show.
Yeah, well, of course, you know, that reminds me of being in Japan on a train next to this socially retarded young man who is reading his manga, his pornographic manga, his book, and he's reading through it. And he's like, and he'd turn a page and he'd start rocking back and forth again, going, he'd turn another page, start rocking back and forth. It was both hilarious and disturbing all at the same time. But you know, that's Japan, where the standards are just a little bit different than here in the States.
It is a different culture, that's for sure. Just so you know, I'm picturing you rocking back and forth with the manja and big Coke bottle glasses on.
He did, in fact, have Coke bottle glasses. I didn't want to invoke the stereotype, but in this case, the stereotype was well-founded. He had big, thick Coke bottle glasses, and he's holding the manja right up, you know, very, very close to his face, and then rocking back and forth. And it was like, you know, dude. Anyway, be that as it may, sorry for the digression there. So while a ton of apps are going to be free, you got to realize that most of the games are going to be for fee. I mean, there's very few reasons for people to release games that aren't going to be charged for, because you know they definitely take development time. It's not like someone making a weather widget or you know making a stock widget or you know the kind of thing that's really quick to develop. And oftentimes the developers are making it because they want it. You know, games are going to be for a fee, and they're going to be popular. I think that the iPhone, at the very least, the iPhone 3G is going to be a very, very popular handheld gaming platform, probably the most popular gaming platform Apple has yet had.
You know, I think you're totally spot on with the whole game platform thing. And it wouldn't surprise me if over time, the iPhone and iPod Touch actually are looked on as actual gaming platforms as well, and are competing head to head with you know, like the
Nintendo DS and
thank you
PSP, maybe. I mean, you know, I don't think it really quite has the processing power of at least the PSP, PlayStation Portable. But you know, again, the games we saw were just really impressive. I haven't played them yet, but they looked good during the keynote presentation. They looked really impressive. So you've got the games, you've got these medical apps, you've got other apps
it looks to me like there's going to be a really good cross section of applications.
Yes.
Which I think is important, because if all you have are a bunch of games or a bunch of weather widgets and that's it, that doesn't add to the legitimacy of iPhone and iPod Touch as mobile computing platforms.
Right.
When you have a broad selection, okay, there you go.
Yeah, and many of those categories are going to have for-fee applications. And the end result is going to be that Apple could see a significant increase in revenue from the App Store compared to its previous business model of getting some of the monthly revenues. Now, I'm not saying by that that Apple is going to be somehow getting $10 a month from every user. It's not on an iPhone to iPhone comparison basis. It's when you look at the right. fact that the cheaper price of the iPhone and the allowance of subsidies and the fact that that changing the business model of wanting part of those monthly revenues was how they were able to get so many new countries so quickly on board. And the fact that right. all that's going to result in the platform being exponentially larger than it would have been with the previous business model, that the overall yeah. impact, I'm sorry, I was pausing dramatically.
That's what, I was going to emphasize your dramatic pause, but that's okay. Please carry on.
Well, to finish up, the exponentially larger platform is going to result in even a few bucks coming from your average iPhone user is going to mean a lot of revenue for Apple, probably more than enough to make up for the fact that they're not getting part of those monthly revenues and that the iPhone is so much cheaper.
Yeah, I'm thinking that the sheer volume of iPhones out on the market will play a big role in how successful the App Store is, which ultimately translates into more money coming back into Apple's coffers. And mm-hmm. and I think you're probably right that in the long run, Apple will make more money by selling apps through the App Store than they did through revenue sharing with AT&T.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and the few places in Europe where they were signed up with.
Right, right.
And you know, remember too that China Mobile said that they just weren't going to do revenue sharing.
Right. And now that we know revenue sharing is off the table, well, that makes it a lot easier for Apple to get that deal taken care of.
Yeah. And China Mobile has more customers, 346 million of them, than the U.S. has citizens.
That's just insane.
It is insane. There's a scale there that's just, you know, off the charts. And so, you know, this is going to end up being a big deal, and we'll see how it actually ends up working. But I think that the App Store is going to be a big success.
Yeah, I have to agree. I think it's going to be a big success. Now, one thing that I question the success of is the way the new rate plans are going to work and how the new activation process is going to work.
Not happy about the activation, man.
Yeah. Okay. So the activation part, I mean, taking away what was a true selling feature of the original iPhone, buy the device, take it home, hook it up to your computer and activate it. That's gone. And I think that's a big mistake.
I do too. People, and it was definitely a selling point.
Oh, definitely. I mean, I probably would have waited a lot longer before getting and activating my iPhone than I did if I had to do the whole process in the store, just because, frankly, I'd rather go to a dentist than go into a store and activate a cell phone. It is,
it's a
pain in the ass.
Every single carrier just makes the process take way too long.
Right. And, you know, there's always going to be a problem. Because, well, that's how it goes. And I mean, I've never been in a cell phone store where I watch someone go, I'll take that phone and sign me up for this contract right here. And then 10 minutes later, they're out the door talking on their phone. It's right. always, they pick the phone and then they have to go through the whole thing about picking out which parts of the contract they want. And then they go through the whole thing where all this information has to be filled out. And then they wait for the whole approval process to happen. And then something doesn't go right and they have to get more information. And they finally get through all that. And by the time the person leaves the store, I never see a smile on their face. They've got their phone most of the time.
Yeah, but you gotta set aside a good hour and a half.
Yeah, and I'm expecting that even though Apple and AT&T are saying 12 minutes, that's all it takes, I think it's going to take longer, and I think people are going to be unhappy with the process, and I don't think you're going to see as many smiling faces walking out of the Apple store.
No. And not only that, man, I mean, 12 minutes from start to finish, but fine, now you're talking about more people waiting in line.
Right.
I'd rather do this. I'm sorry, Jeff, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, at the first iPhone launch, you know, I was there watching the process, and I was amazed at how smooth and fast it is. Mm-hmm. Now, I will be on location for iPhone 3G launch, and you can bet I'm going to be watching and timing how long it takes for people to get through the process, and I'm going to be asking people what they thought of the process.
Right. Right, absolutely. And there's a flip side sort of to this, is that I'd probably rather still go through this process at the Apple store rather than an AT&T store. Because,
okay, yeah,
you know, your average Apple retail employee, head and shoulders above your average AT&T retail employee. Sorry, folks, nothing personal, but it all comes down to management and training. I'm not dissing on you. I'm dissing on the system.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, you're right. I think the system in the AT&T stores is flawed in comparison to what you have at the Apple stores. And I did go into a couple AT&T stores right after the iPhone launch happened. And I asked questions where I knew what the answer should be. And I was routinely getting wrong information. And it wasn't because the employees were trying to mislead me. They simply had not been given the correct information.
Yeah, absolutely. It's poor training. I mean, you know, most places have poor training. This is just a fact. Most retail establishments have poor training and poor management. It just is. And I think that AT&T is definitely there. Now, I also expect that Apple retail store employees are going to probably know AT&T's rate plans better than a lot of AT&T employees. Again, nothing personal. Oh, well, screw it. I'm just insulting you, but whatever.
and I just laughed at you insulting all those employees.
Well, I actually firmly believe that. Now, I just realized that I was constantly insulting them and saying that I wasn't trying to insult them. I really do firmly believe that it's the system and it's the management and the lack of training and the lack of management and the lack of expectation setting. And, you know, it's a systemic thing, not an individual people thing. I've met lots of smart folks at AT&T, and the smartest of them have been able to work around the system and be great, you know, be able to give me great service. There's a guy at my local AT&T store that I love talking to because he always knows exactly what's going on. But I've always had the feeling that he was able to go and get that information, that it wasn't given to him.
Yeah. And there was an employee at one of the Apple stores AT&T stores up in Boulder that I would go in and see. Matt was stellar, but he was doing the same thing. I'm certain he was working around the system to find the information so he could be a fantastic employee. Mm-hmm. It's just in his nature. And the unfortunate thing is when you get employees that are that great, they're not there forever. They're going to go someplace else that can better take advantage of their skills.
Yeah.
And that's what happened with Matt.
More power to him too. Anyway, yeah. That's enough of that. Activating in store is going to suck more than activating at home. Just plain and simple.
It is. And I'm curious to see how the whole thing with going in and buying an iPhone as a gift for someone else works now. Because, you know, they're saying, hey, you have to activate in the store. I'm sure there will be something in place so that you can buy an iPhone and give it away as a gift. We just haven't seen what that is yet. I can't imagine they wouldn't have something like that, especially considering how many iPhones are bought as gifts.
Yeah, you know, I wonder. Of course, you know, part of the reason why they're doing this is to keep people from taking phones and unlocking them for other services. Because if Apple sells an iPhone and someone takes it and unlocks it, before, Apple wasn't getting part of those monthly revenues that they were counting on that was part of the business model.
Right.
Right? So now what's going to be happening is that they're not going to be getting the direct subsidy from whatever mobile phone providers, you know, is being talked about. So that is why the company is doing this. And, you know, can they provide for things like gifts? I don't know. can they provide for something like me going in and buying one for every employee?
I hope so.
Sorry, didn't mean to clip. That was funny. In this particular regard, think of me as the small business owner of a different business.
Oh, all right. Okay, so actually, you know, I have never seen someone go into a cell phone store and say, hey, I want to buy a Razor or BlackBerry, whatever, as a present for my kid. Can you wrap that for me? I have never seen that. So I don't know if outside of the iPhone, people regularly buy cell phones as gifts for other people.
Yeah, but to be fair, we're not looking for that either.
No, we're not. But you can bet I will be now.
True enough. Now, how happy are you to be paying 50% more for your data coverage plus an extra $5 for SMS text messages?
You know, all right, so the data part, I mixed on that because it looked iPhone owners have been getting a discounted rate. The new rate, that's what everyone else has been paying from what I understand. So we're losing the discount. All right, that I can get. Adding in the SMS as a separate thing, okay, now I start to get upset about the whole thing because one of the other selling features of the iPhone was easy plans. How many minutes do you want? You select that and you're done. And now it's turning into the same thing every cell phone user has to deal with. Pick your minutes, pick this part of the plan, pick this part of the plan. It's becoming more complex. And that's one thing that I find to be very uncool because Apple has always had this track record of making things easy. And I feel like in some ways we're taking steps backwards with iPhone 3G.
Maybe we definitely are in terms of the AT&T side of things, we definitely are.
Right.
That's just all there is to that.
Yeah, and you know, if you're going to start off with a phone on a bad foot or with a bad taste in your mouth or whatever metaphor you want to use, I think that it sets things up for disappointment down the road, like on a subconscious level, as opposed to what we had before, where it's this exciting event where you go in, you get this cool box, and then you can do your... I know people that do unboxing parties. You know, they look, I got my new iPhone, and friends come over, and they open up the iPhone, their iPod, the MacBook Pro, whatever it is they bought. And that part of the whole excitement factor is going to be gone now because they have to open the box in the store so they can activate the phone. And I just...
Slightly crazy.
Slightly crazy, absolutely. But there's enough people out there that really get excited about unboxing Apple products. I mean, look at how many sites you can go find where people put their unbox porn up. You know, look, here's picture 5 where I took the cellophane off, and people eat that up. And I'm not saying that in a bad way. It's just it's true. People totally get off on watching unboxing of Apple products, which, by the way, I think is a brilliant thing on Apple's part. They've actually designed packaging that is so cool that people want to see pictures of other people opening it up.
Yeah, sure.
And, you know, part of that experience is going to be gone now.
Yeah, part of it will be, and we're going to be paying more for it to boot.
And we will be paying more for it to boot. That is true.
Still, I think that at the end of the day, it's probably not going to stop many folks from...
No, I don't think it will. I think that we will see, especially in some blogs, we're going to see a lot of, at least a few people on blogs just totally flaming out over the price plan changes and the new activation process. But you're probably right. In the end, most people are going to be totally fine with it, and they'll line up in droves to buy their iPhone 3Gs, and you know, and I'm going to be there taking pictures of them doing it on the first day. So, you know, what does that say?
That's absolutely the case. And I mean, to finish up the context machine for this edition, The long run, I think that is the iPhone 3G is going to be huge. I think it's going to explode around the world, and I think that Apple's going to make a boatload of money from it.
I think you are absolutely right. The iPhone product line is going to be a cash cow for Apple.
Continue to be a cash cow for Apple.
Yes, continue to be a cash cow.
All right. And with that, let's move on to the quick tip.
All right. So the quick tip that I have for this week is a new feature that came into place when Apple released their macOS 10.5.3 update. And this feature is new in iCal. One of the things that has always bugged me about iCal is that when I'm in the week view, I can look at a week from Sunday through Saturday, and or I can pick the week date that I want it to start on, but it's stuck at whatever that is. So like in my case, Sunday through Saturday, if I have like a multi-day event that starts on Friday and goes through to Monday, I can only look at part of that at any given time because I have to jump between weeks. You can change that now so that you can actually move in the week view day by day. So now I can look at my week starting on Thursday or whatever I want and look over a weekend.
That's very handy. How does it work?
Okay, so what you want to do is go into iCal's preferences. So go to the iCal menu and choose preferences. Click on the general tab. And then look for the scroll in week view pop-up menu and change that to say days instead of weeks.
That's it.
Yeah. And now when you're in week view and you click the forward button, instead of advancing a week at a time, you'll advance a day at a time. And I immediately changed my setting to the advance by days option and haven't looked back. It's been exactly what I've been waiting for since, we could do that, back in Palm Desktop on System 8.6?
Right.
Yeah. So there you go. Easy to do. And in my opinion, a very welcome addition to iCal.
Indeed. And another great quick tip. Jeff, your quick tips are just a fantastic feature.
I'm trying to make your life easier, Brian.
I know. And I appreciate that. So the readers and listeners can find notes to the written version of that quick tip in the show notes.
Yes, they can, complete with pretty screenshots.
With pretty screenshots. All right. Well,
that's right.
Looks like that's going to be it. Why don't you take us out?
Okay. That's what I was about to do. Here we go. If you have anything to comment on, add a question, send your audio or text comments to awr@macobserver.com. And remember, succinctness is next to steveliness. And that's this week's Apple Weekly Report. Thanks for listening, and thanks for sending us your comments and feedback.
Our content is written by the good people at the Mac Observer and iPodObserver.com. That's you and me and John Martellaro. Our bandwidth is provided by CashFly. Thank you very much, CashFly. The bass was recorded by Boom just for us. And that's all for this week.
And as always, stay subscribed.
We'll see you online at the Mac Observer and iPodObserver.com.